What to?
Is Nirvikam Mataji saying not able to get through?
Oh yeah, that is actually problem is there. Many times we face problem initially, but she has to keep trying.
Okay.
Yeah, you can just message her that keep trying. You'll finally be able to. Many times we also experience the same. Okay, so you are okay. So you had asked me a question, no, about Radha and Krishna.
Yes, sir.
The relationship between them.
Correct. Okay. Because some say that they were married off when they were children, when they were in during their leela here, when they were as kids. But then it's also said that Radharani was married to
Abhimanyu.
So then, I mean, and it is for sure that she loves only Krishna. So then, how was it? I had a very specific question actually that time. I'm just trying to recall. Considering their relationship, when she would, I mean, she was obviously going and meeting him all the time. So there must have been some sort of issues even with the parents. I mean, because every time when the girl is going out and then finally getting her married to someone else, there must have been a lot of social issues relating to this in practical life at that time.
Actually, I'm not able to hear you clearly. Maybe because you're speaking in a low voice. But what I'm probably able to get it is that you are asking about whether there are any issues when Radharani is trying to meet Krishna from the parent
side. Because considering that it's an orthodox society.
Yeah.
And Radharani was spending not just daytime, even evenings they had so many pastimes together. So it must have been quite a challenging situation to execute the pastimes. Obviously.
Yeah. So actually, first of all, the Vrajvasis, they are all Krishna's expansions. And so they are just assisting in the Leela of the Lord. So, and like, you know, for example, Abhimanyu is actually the shadow of Krishna. So even if Radharani is married to Abhimanyu, but ultimately she is married to Krishna's shadow only. So in that sense, she is not married to anyone else than Krishna. And this Parikyan conception is there just to increase the love of the devotee. So in Goloka, there are two leelas. One is Parikya leela and one is Swakya leela. So in Goloka, there is a division. Okay, now, so in Goloka, in Gokul, Radha and Krishna and the gopis and the Lord, they are married. So they are experiencing and exchanging Swakya ras. But in Vrindavan, they are experiencing Parikya ras, where they are not married. So this is Achinta Bhedave Tattva, simultaneously one and different. Because the Lord wants to reciprocate with the devotee's love, and he wants to fulfill the desires of devotees. At the same time, he wants to taste all the rasas. Okay. So so in one portion of Goloka, they are married. All of them are married to Krishna. And another portion of Goloka, they are unmarried. So now, which is greater? Can you guess which must be the greater rasa?
Parikya.
Oh, you have joined?
Yeah, I've tried it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You have to just keep trying, you know, because sometimes this happens. Okay, so you are saying Parakia. Now, why Parakia?
Because in the form, this is based on what I have read, that based on like if the Swakiya Ras, the husband and wife, they are already married, so that is what the Swakiya Ras is about. So then they are bound to be together as husband and wife. But in Parakya Ras, the mellows are different because they are not married. It's like beloved, the lover and the both are just lovers. And the meetings, the anxieties of meeting, the kind of intimacy that they feel at that time is of a different level than felt that in the Parakya Ras, like in one sense, in a more deeply, that is more relishable for Krishna, because over there it's kind of like showing that this is a meeting despite whatever the social norms are. You don't consider that, because definitely this is a pure love which you can't maybe imitate in this world, but the love that happens over there is it's beyond the social norms and customs. Generally, a boy and girl like that shouldn't be at the mother standard. They are, but this is to show that nothing can. The Krishna is he wants to enjoy all kinds of rasas, and this is the one which gives him most pleasure. I don't know if I've been able to explain it properly, but
Yeah, you are on the right track. Yeah. What you mentioned is all right. But there is certain things are there. You know, see, it's a very simple thing to understand, because in a relationship, wherever there is excitement, wherever there's challenges, there the love is naturally intense. And even from outside point of view also, if you watch that relationship, you feel more excitement. What is going to happen now? What is going to happen? Oh, this is going to be revealed. Oh, now, you know, Radha has got stuck. Abhimanyu is now not going to find her. So then, in that mood of, you know, separation, or when there are obstacles and challenges, the intensity of remembering Krishna and to associate with him, it will increase like anything compared to when you are married. Now, let's say, for example, you see a married, you know, you see a movie where a couple is married. What is exciting? Nothing is exciting. Obviously, other than, you know, the normal fights between husband and wife, and, you know, tutu meme and all, but then that is all common, and then there is nothing excitement in the relationship. But when there is obstacles, then obviously there is a lot of fun in the leela. There is a lot of eagerness, what is going to happen. So in order to create this kind of intense loving feelings, Krishna is actually reciprocating in, you know, Parakya Ras and Swakiya Ras both. Now, Swakiya Ras, why Swakiya Ras? Because, see, ultimately from a tattva point of view, actually Radha and Krishna are all one only. So even if they are married or unmarried, they are actually one only from tattva point of view, because Radharani is internal energy of Krishna. And similarly, the expansion of Radharani, the Kaya expansions, they are also one with Radha. So they are one with Krishna, essentially, right? So in that sense, they are always married. There is no question of their marriage, actually. Because when we talk about marriage, we're talking about marriage between a man and a woman. Now, there is no concept of man and woman in the spiritual world, first of all, on bodily platform. So we, if you remember, you know, in CC class, we have discussed about this, that man and woman in spiritual sense means someone who is dominating and someone who is being dominated, or someone who is the enjoyer and someone who is the enjoyed. So whoever is enjoyed, that becomes the female aspect of the Lord. And whoever is dominating, he becomes a male aspect. That's the reason in the material world we see male and female dominators, and, you know, so generally male is dominating, because that's the nature of a, you know, characteristic of a male aspect, you know, like
But
that.
it's but it is the opposite in Kali Yuga, I think.
You Kali Yuga, everything is reversed. So that is also true. But actually, a husband is supposed to leave the wife. That remains true for all the yugas. So whether even if the wife is dominating, or even if the husband is kind of a hen-pecked husband, but still he has to leave the wife, because we have discussed in our BG class, right, about the difference between men and women.
Yeah.
So that's how then because we are in the human body, so there are certain characteristics of a body, and we have to act according to that. Otherwise, we create a disharmony in the nature, and that will create a lot of problems. Okay.
So Prabhuji, if you're saying that the parakya is more exciting for experiencing love, then is it recommended for the devotee also to experience that sort of love?
In fact, yeah, I mean, that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipped. His mood is parakya mood. That's what all our Goswamis also, Rupa Goswami, and they have all portrayed parakya as highest. So, except Jiva Goswami, because, there was a particular circumstance where he had to portray or emphasize the Swakya Bhav, because some of his disciples, they were not qualified to understand parakya Bhav. And for them, he wrote Gopal Champu, which is emphasizing Swakya Bhav. But whatever it is, in any case...
Yes, sorry, who wrote that book?
Huh?
Sorry, who wrote the book, Gopal Champu?
Jiva Goswami.
Yeah, Jiva Goswami. Okay.
Yeah. So, there you will see that, ultimately, Jiva Goswami resolves everything by, concluding that or proving it that Radha and Krishna finally got married. Okay. Now you see, there are certain pastimes, even in the Parikya Ras, where apparently they get married for certain instants, where Brahmaji, like for example in, what is the name of... in between Nandgaon and Barasana, I think...
Pandirvan, right?
Yeah, okay, I don't remember the forest, but there is a place, there is some sarovar where Brahma came, and then he performed the marriage ceremony of Radha and Krishna. So, so there are certain things like that which happen. But then again, see, this is now, this Leela is done when they are not yet married. So, just it is done amongst the gopis, sakis and gopas, just to have some kind of fun. But then after the Leela, again they are separated. And obviously, officially they are not married, because there is no marriage ceremony between both the house, like Nand Maharaj and Vrishvanu Maharaj. They are not getting together and planning arrangement for their marriage or something. But officially, it is not. But this is just a Leela.
But if Brahmaji got married, then what higher sanction is required?
Yeah, that is also true. But see, Brahma, what is the position of Brahma and Raj? Like I was in, I was in Darshan I camp, and we were in Pilipokar Kund, So there we were hearing pastimes of Pilipokar, and then Brahmaji, when, this Vasant Panchami, generally the Holi will start in, Vraj, because their Holi continues to for about 2 months. So it starts from Vasant Panchami, and then again it will end in Panchami after 2 months. So you must be familiar with that Yatmar Holi in Barsana. So this Pilipokar is actually the starting place of that Holi pastime, and Brahma is actually coming, and he's trying to get the mercy of Radharani. But because he's kind of a disguised person, and but he has four heads, so then all the Vrajvasis are laughing at Brahma, making fun of him. So what is the position of Brahma? Brahma is an insignificant living entity. They will make fun of Brahma. They will make fun of Shiva also. So, although they are demigods, but when you talk about Vrajlila, in Vrajlila, there is so much sweetness that all these things, they don't matter so much. Like the position, the post and everything, it will never matter to them. It will not matter to the Vrajvasis. So, this is all for, Aishwarya Bhav. Yeah, Brahma, give all reverence, respect to him. But Vrajvasis, for them, he's just like an ordinary person. Okay. So in certain Leelas, certain situations, they might get some kind of awe and reverence for him. Okay. But it's not all the time. So in certain Leelas, they will make fun of him. They make fun of Mahadev also, like, you know the pastime of Gopeshwar Mahadev. So because now you okay, tell me one thing. Now everyone knows the position of Mahadev. But when he was willing to enter the Rasalila arena, why he was not allowed? And, you know, very straightforwardly they told him that unless you are a gopi, you cannot enter. So they were not afraid of his position. Right? So the position and, you know, the post does hardly matter in Vrajmukhi. Because they are deeply attached to Krishna. So it is basically Rag Marga, spontaneous attachment to the Lord. Okay. Rag Marga. Raganuga, you know, Rag Marga.
Rag Marga.
Like the Pushti Marga, you know, Pushti Marga is Rag Marga, spontaneous devotion to Krishna, like that. So, see, it is all, whatever is happening in Vraj, it is under the direction of Krishna. And then he will also use his yoga potency to cover up things and to reveal it with time. So he will cover it and then he will also reveal it. Like, you know, so many lilas we have seen. In Krishna book itself, we know of so many lilas. Right? So this is also another lila of the Lord where the Vrajvasis, they are, they would prefer, you know, the highest type of love. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually propagated this parikiras more. And the entire sampradaya, Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya, they promote parikiras because it is. As Nirvika was also describing, that when you get married, then there is, you know, certain, you know, that intimacy is kind of locked. You cannot go very intimate in that relationship. Because you become very familiar. So familiarity breeds contempt, like that. And so, what is the fun, you know, when your paramour is, you know, always with you? What is the fun in that, you know? So when you are separated, when there are obstacles, then it becomes more, exciting, like that. So that time, see, that reason Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also promoted the mood of separation. Because in that separation, highest level of bhav is manifesting.
Is it recommended then that if one has to experience this thing, one should not get married?
Sorry?
No, I think, is it then recommended that if one has to experience this higher exciting love, then one should not get married?
So, see, basically you're talking about the spiritual realm. So, we are not talking about material realm. And this is a question of your swarupa, your relationship with the Lord. So, see, everyone has a relationship with the Lord and they are inspired by that relationship. So, it's not necessary that you are probably even a gopi. You might be a cowherd also. Or you might be a servant of Krishna also in Goloka. Right? So, then there is no question of parikya satya.
So in that case, initiation is a type of marriage only. Now you are getting married to God.
Huh?
Isn't initiation a type of marriage where you are getting married to God and you are committing ourselves?
I didn't get what exactly you want to question.
My question is that if in the spiritual sense, if you are saying marriage is not necessary, so you can experience higher love, then when we get initiated in the sampradaya, are we not getting married to God?
Well, okay, so see, this marriage is just an external formality of our connection with the Lord. And that marriage is, so marriage generally is taking place between men and women. Okay. But what initiation you are taking formal acceptance. And formally you are accepting to follow the process of Krishna consciousness. So that is completely different what you are talking about. This initiation is just, you know, you are formalizing your relationship with the Lord. You are not committing that, well, you are getting married to the Lord. Because first of all, if you have a male body, then how do you know what is your relationship with the Lord? So this is when you are talking about Radha Krishna and this Parakya Swakya, you are talking about Siddhadeya. So, you know, the Vastu Siddhi, or like the Swarupa that you are attaining after that. Like you attain Prema, and then, you know, then only we talk about all these things. So this is all in the spiritual world, and in the material world, when the devotees, they have reached the state of Bhava and more, you know, then for them this is applicable, because they have already realized their Swarupa. Okay, so we are yet to realize our Swarupa. In fact, we are at the stage of Bhajan Kriya Anartha Nivritti. So what to speak of Bhava and Prema, right? So what we are discussing now is completely in the spiritual realm. It is not tinged by material concept.
Okay.
Prabhuji, I wanted to ask that if there are these sakhas, okay, like who are Krishna's cowherd friends. So you spoke about the dominator and the dominated, so enjoyer and the enjoyed. So in the spiritual world, apart from Krishna, everyone else is the enjoyed, including the sakhas, even though they have so-called like a male swarup.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that's the reason. So see, that we should not go away with the external personality. You know, we have to consider the internal aspect of that. And that's the reason it is also said that Srimati Radharani is actually the originator of bhakti. And so because bhakti is present in all the living entities, that's why in one, you know, everyone is a female in front of Krishna.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so when the Lord is displaying his pastimes in the material world, Bhoma Vrindavan, so that time also, you know, he is again, you know, using his yogmaya potency, he's covering up things, and then again he's removing that yogmaya, and then things are like that. So Krishna does get married, that is true. Even, you know, in Vraj Bhumi or Goloka or in Bhumo, but then there is also eternal relationship of Swakya and, you know, Sparkya. So now Acharya say that this Swakya, okay, now another question is that, okay, as I said earlier, that in one part of Goloka, in Vrindavan, there is Parakya Ras. And in another part of Goloka, which is Gokul, there is Swakya Ras. So now the obvious question is that is Radha and, you know, are Radha Krishna and the, you know, the Sakhis, they are present in both simultaneously, or they are just present in one?
Should be both only.
Should be?
Should be present in both simultaneously.
Exactly, yeah. So obviously, you know, if they are not present in both, then there is only one relationship. So it means, so the Acharya says that this original Shyam Sundar and Srimati Radharani, they are original, in their original Swarupa, they are present in Vrindavan. And the Krishna and Radharani and the other gopis and gopa who are present in Gokula, they are expansions of that original Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So like that. So even in Goloka, there is a division. There is an expansion in Goloka. And then from that expansion, come down to Mathura. And then Dwarka. And then Vaikuntha, like that. Right? So, there are so many details are there. You know, many, many things, you know.
Mataji can answer.
Okay.
So, in what way are they worshipped when they are married in Golok Vrindavan in opulence? So, are they still like simple only, but they're just married? Like, how is it over?
Yeah, there is Swakya Bhav, basically. That's how they are worshipped. So, basically, okay, now there is another concept also called Aishwarya worship in Goloka. So Vishwanathar Thakur says that if you are attached to Radha and Krishna, but not to Rukmini Dwarka, like, you know, we know that, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that if one worships Radha and Krishna without Raganuga Bhakti, then one goes to Dwarka, but not in Goloka. And then Vishwanatha Chakravarti further clarifies, or you can say that he is the one who says earlier, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says later, but Vishwanatha Thakur says that if you...
Hello?
I think he's disconnected.
Oh, I think he got disconnected.
Yeah, he has to come again.
Are we three the only there in the group?
No. My wife Angel is also there.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
She will call back.
She is more of a listener. She doesn't talk much.
Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Okay, one second. I don't know why I got disconnected so early. Anyways, I heard that there are other two participants also who have joined. Who are they? Rajiv Prabhu Nirvika Mataji and? Okay, so she called separately?
No, she's already, but she's, I just want to change, but she's already online.
So she's on a different call or what?
No, she's with us in the same conference.
Yeah, then I don't know. It was mentioning that there are four participants. So.
Oh.
Maybe Sudhamai Mataji and probably some other. Okay. Anyways, coming back to that, so Vishwanatha Thakur says that, the Lord will always reciprocate according to the way you desire. So you don't expect that you'll go to Dwarka when you are attached to Radha and Krishna. Okay. But when you get attached to Radha and Krishna, but still if you do not worship Radha and Krishna in Raganuga Bhakti, then Vishwanatha Thakur says that you go in a portion of Goloka where you worship Radha and Krishna in Aishwarya Bhava, just because you couldn't worship them in Rag Marga or spontaneous devotion, right? So basically Rag Marga is, you know, technically it is actually to follow in the footsteps of the Vrajvasis. So if you don't do that, then probably, you know, you are worshipping Aishwarya Bhava. And then not only Raganuga and Aishwarya, there is also a mixture of both. So that also exists in Goloka. And so different devotees, they end up in different places in Goloka, depending on the leelas of the Lord. So it is mentioned that in some portion of the Goloka, the Lord is displaying his Aishwarya leelas. And that's why, you know, the devotees who are attached to his, who are not practicing Raganuga, they go there like that. And some places the Lord is displaying both Aishwarya as well as Madhurya. I mean sweetness. Okay, so they will go there. And then for devotees who only want Raganuga, complete sweetness, they will go there, which is the original swarupa of the Lord. Okay, like that. So depending on your desire, on the devotee's desire, the Lord will reciprocate, like that.
In which Acharya's book or something?
Yeah, this is given by Rupa Goswami in Bhaktisamrita Sindhu, Vishwanatha Thakur commentary on that. And it's also mentioned, these things are also mentioned in other books, other scriptures by Rupa Goswami.
Okay,
I obviously, I am just repeating what I have read and what I have heard. So I'm not making a, you know, obviously, because these are all very technical
so,
things.
I just wanted to know which Acharya has like mentioned this. Like you said,
yeah, this is basically Rupa Goswami has mentioned all these things. Rupa Goswami and Vishwanath Thakur also.
Prabhuji, I've also heard that what we are seeing the duties of Radha Krishna is actually the opulent form. They're so well decorated and well dressed.
One minute. Angel Mother, maybe she can help you.
The deities that we worship. That we see in temples, ISKCON temples,
yeah,
is actually Radha Krishna in Aishwarya form.
Okay, so this is a bit there is a misconception about this. So Prabhupada did
complete. But let me complete what I heard further on that the original form of Radha and Krishna is actually simple. Cowherd boy and a simple girl, a village girl, but that is so high. The requirement of worshipping that form is so high, and it has to be so offenseless that it will not be possible for us to reach that stage. So, I mean, the way we are, therefore, we worship their opulent form.
This is what Srila Prabhupada, you know, recommended in the beginning when he was establishing the duties. So he wanted to make sure that we don't jump and we don't directly go to Raganuga Bhakti. Because in Raganuga, you are not concerned about the rules and regulations. Like, for example, you know, let's say there is a restriction that you should not, like, you know, when we go in the temple hall, then what do we do in the beginning? We offer obeisances to Acharya and all the deities. And then we try to follow as much etiquette as possible. Like, for example, we wear dhoti, kurta, tilak, and then we are pure. We don't go inside the temple if we are contaminated, right? But when the state of Raganuga Bhakti, these things are not concerned, you know, because the devotee, he will not even be aware that he is contaminated or he's not pure. He will just run into the temple. And that spontaneous devotion or that rag, you know, intense attachment to the Lord, will drive away him without external considerations. So for the devotee, it is more important to take the darshan of the Lord rather than not to take darshan of the Lord in contaminated situations, right? But because, you know, just to make sure that we don't imitate that kind of situations, because, you know, we, as conditioned souls, you know, every one of us would like to get name and fame. So we would like to be called as a pure, advanced, high devotee, you know, very advanced soul, very special soul, or rare soul, you know, or someone who has got the mercy of, you know, like highest mercy like that. We want that name and fame because of the ego. So we may try to imitate that position, and that's why initially in the beginning stages, unless we overcome our anarthas, there is no question of going to Raganugam, which is, you know, which happens at the state of Bhava, ideally. So obviously we have to worship the Lord in awe and reverence. Okay? And that's the reason, see, it's not just simply a Panchatrik Marg. It is combination of Bhagavat Marg and Panchatrik. Bhagavat Marg is completely, you can say, spontaneous devotion with that. Basically consisting of chanting, hearing, and associating with devotees, and nothing concerned with the rules and regulations so much. Okay, but yeah. Panchatrik Marg is basically about deity worship, which is there are many things to be considered. So we follow both these paths, but obviously the goal is that we come to Bhagavat Marg completely at some point of time in the future. So then. Once we go to the state of Bhava, then the deity will, the Lord will appear to you, basically. So then what is the need of the deity, right? Like that. So that is our goal, you know, we want to advance like that. And especially in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's moment, we want to attain what Mahaprabhu has given us. So every devotee has a relationship with the Lord, unique relationship, and they are inspired by their relationship. It's not necessary that one is a gopi, then everyone is a gopi. So some devotees might have a different rasa with the Lord. But Mahaprabhu is willing to give us the highest rasa, if you are willing to take it like that.
So what is the highest rasa?
That is what we discussed, you know, parkya ras, the parkya. Mood of the gopis, which is parkya. Okay, more that even is, superior have, than swakya.
Okay, so then we will have to accept the female identification. We have to accept that. Does it mean that?
We have to what?
To accept the female identification of the self. For
we have to time. Accept the feeling.
Of a female identity.
So this is called as something which you start conceptualizing or imagining, you know, like, so, but this is not recommended, basically. It should come naturally. You should naturally feel inspired in that particular rasa. So it should come from within, basically. It should not be artificial. Like, just because it's the highest thing, so let me just try to accept it that, you know, I am probably a gopi and I'm wearing sari, and then, you know, I am wearing bangles, and, you know, I'll be doing all the things that a, you know, a gopi will do. So if you start imagining that, then there's a tendency to become sajya. So that natural inclination should come, you know, it should, that should build up naturally. It should not be artificial. So that's the reason Prabhupada said that chant the holy name, become a servant of the servant, like, you know, gradually everything will be revealed to you. So, so there are different ways to attain that goal. And during the time of Gaurakishore Das Babaji, and before him also, so there was a method called a Siddha Pranali, where you bestow Siddha Deha. The Guru will bestow Siddha Deha means, you know, at the state of sadhana itself, at the state of Anarthana Vritti Nishtha, the Guru will give, you know, tell the disciple that, well, you are a gopi in the spiritual world. So this is your identification. And so you practice your bhajan accordingly. So that is the process called a Siddha Pranali, Siddha Deha. The Guru is giving Siddha Deha, and then you start imagining to do bhajan in that internally. Externally, you do what you know, do as a regulative principle. You follow that, but internally you start meditating on that. So that thing has been rejected by Bhakti Siddhanta Sarvachar Thakur, you know, and his emphasis is always that, because Kaliyuga people are extremely fallen in condition. So and one you know, for meditating, you know, it requires a lot of determination, lot of you have to be really very serious, you know. Otherwise meditation is not meant for Kaliyuga people. So artificially you meditate and then you get distracted, you get attached to opposite sex, and internally you are trying to think that you are a gopi. That will all create disturbance. So this was possible for very advanced devotees, or you can say that, you know, those who are not very pure in their... Okay. But later, over a period of time, after Gaurakishore Das Babaji, it started degrading and it became very cheap. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur rejected that concept, and then he very strongly emphasized that Harinam Sankirtan will reveal everything to us. So that is what we are supposed to follow. Prabhupada also followed the same thing, and he also said that one should not try to meditate, but when everything is going to be revealed by the holy name. So just wait and watch like that. Okay. Prabhupada just said, chant 16 rounds, follow regulative principles strictly, and give your life to Krishna, and ultimately things will be revealed to you.
Okay.
So is the process that...
Is it true that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he was like 7 feet tall and quite a towering personality, still he was a little feminine in his... style of, you know, the way he carried himself.
Still he was what?
A little feminine in his style, the way he carried himself. There was high degree of femininity in his style.
Was he very feminine in his movements? That's what he's saying, right? feminine, like feminine. Was he very like, you know, like how women or girls are, you know, feminine type, feminine?
Well, see, feminine means, you know, we cannot say that Mahaprabhu was like that, because externally he was extremely strict, and internally he was just, you know, displaying his Mahabhav symptoms, which is Radharani symptoms basically. So advanced devotees could understand that, but, you know, external people would not be able to understand these things. So that's the reason he concealed all these symptoms in Jagannath Puri. He was just associating with Ravan Rai, Swarup Damodar Goswami, and you know, other senior Vaishnavas. So he was not doing this openly. Okay, so that is the difference. Because people would not be able to understand the symptom, they will probably criticize. So like that. Yeah, but yeah, he was definitely displaying a lot of humility. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, Mahaprabhu's entire character or his leela, they were very unpredictable. Like, you know, so in certain situations he behaved like God, and, you know, he expected that devotees should worship him. In certain situations he said that I am more fallen than all of you, you know, and I am not fit to be. And then whenever he used to hear the name Vishnu, he should, I mean, whenever someone used to call him God, he used to say Vishnu, Vishnu, you know, don't say like that. No, don't make me a Mayavadi like that. So, and then he behaved, you know, very differently with different devotees. His, you know, his pastimes with devotees was very different. Like, you know, for example, Jagannanand Pandit was, you know, he was the only one devotee who was actually having a, you know, friendly kind of relationship with the Lord. But rest of the devotees were mostly in Dasya Bhav. That Jagannanand Pandit was sharing a very special relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so he was able to criticize him also. Jagannanand Pandit was able to criticize Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu liked that. So it is said that he was incarnation of Satyabhama. You know, so Mahaprabhu was appreciating that. But no other devotee would think of criticizing Mahaprabhu. So different devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were in different circumstances, he used to behave very differently. And this shows that, you know, he is a person and all other devotees are also individual personalities. So we are not the same. And the relationship is also not the same. So in a sense, you can say that it's not a Mayavadi philosophy, that everything is same. Okay, I associate with all the devotees in the same way. That becomes again Mayavad concept, right? Because that's the meaning of variety. When you have individuality, when you have variety, that means that the flavor will also be different. The exchange will be different. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reciprocated with each and every devotee very differently. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So this is about Radha Krishna relationship.
Also, Prabhuji, is there any mention or record of Radharani's life in the sense that did she bear any children? Or, we know how Krishna made the exit through the Leela of getting shot by an arrow on his feet. But what about Radharani? How did she leave this planet?
Yeah.
Is there any mention about all those things?
Yeah. So, see, all these things are, you know, like acharyas, they have explained it. But because this is Krishna's leela, so many leelas are very complicated. In the sense that there are multiple things going on simultaneously. So it is difficult to say that when, what happened, you know, why it happened like that. But in general, the acharyas say first of all about the children thing, acharyas, they have denied that. And they have said that, well, none of the gopis, they had children. And in fact, the acharya even said that, okay, the gopis who went to the Rasta dance, leaving their homes aside, leaving their husband aside, leaving their children aside. So the acharya say that actually Krishna had created the replicates of the gopis. So these replicates were staying in the house of their husband. And the real gopis, they went to play the rasa dance. So there in the house, that is the reason Bhagavatam also says that the husbands, they did not object to their rasa dance because they were satisfied. And that's the reason, you know, Acharya say that because they were actually in their house, so there was no question of any concern or objection. So basically Krishna created replicates of these gopis and they were serving the husbands, and the original forms, they went to Krishna's rasa dance to enjoy with him. Okay, so that's about the replication. And so you can say that, well, none of the gopis, they had any children. Now, in the expansion of Dwarka, yes, you can say that the gopis had children, because the Dwarka Maishis, they are all expansions of Krishna's gopis. Okay, so there, obviously, they had children. We know that Krishna had, you know, how many children Krishna had? Anyone remembers?
10 from each wife.
Correct. Yeah. So 16,108. Actually, that is also not true. Krishna had almost 15 lakh wives. More than that, probably. And that you know, it's in another pastime, you know, where Krishna got married to more than 15 lakh wives.
So could you please tell us that pastime?
Well, you know, we know that the sages of Dandakaranya, when they saw Lord Ramchandra, they got attracted to him. So we know that, you know, Ramchandra could not satisfy them. So then he told them, in the next yuga, Krishna will come. That time he will satisfy you all. So they became gopis. Then when Lord Ramchandra was in Mithila, that time many of the Mithila Vasis, women of Mithila, they got attached to him. So they also came as gopis. And when he was in Ayodhya, that time also Ayodhya Vasini women, they got attached to him. So they all became the gopis. And so such a huge population, you know, they all came in Krishna Leela. And then with different pastimes, at different places, time and circumstances, Krishna started accepting all of them. So at the place called as Vimalkund in Vraj, you know, all these gopis were married to Krishna. So there is a history behind that, like how it happened. I don't remember exact details, but some king had desired that, you know.
So these were gopis, but they had like a Swakya bhav to their love.
These are all Madhurya gopis. So you cannot get married to the Lord without Madhurya Ras.
Yeah, yeah. So in that only, but in Swakya, so they officially, they got married to him. Or like, how is it?
Yeah, officially they got married. So Swakya Ras basically, okay. That end.
Yeah, Swakya.
Like, you know, okay. Now, for one example, I do remember is that of the gopis, who worship Goddess Katyayani. So they got married to Krishna because that was their desire. So it is said in the Shastra that these gopis, they were actually, Ayodhya Vasini gopis. So they, because they had desired to get married to the Lord, so, you know, they came as gopis and Katyayani Vrat they did, and then they got married to Krishna. So these are Ayodhya Vasini gopis who got married to the Lord like that. So now, see, these are all sadhaka devotees. In the past life, they were like sadhakas. And then in Krishna Leela, they attain, you know, higher stages of prema. And then they attain the Lord finally in spiritual worlds like that.
But they got married to him in this thing itself, in Vraj itself. Not in
Vraj only.
Okay.
So, as I said, you know, Vimalakund, you know, that's a place in Vraj, one of the forests of Vrindavan. Which forest, I don't remember, but, you know, these are like one of the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Yeah, so, the point is, coming to the main point, is that Krishna's pastimes are unlimited. Okay. So, like you know, as you are hearing from me, so you must be thinking, oh my God, I never
his
heard
rights,
this before.
His
never
rights
heard
are
this
also
before.
Unlimited.
Yeah. So similarly, when I hear from other devotees, I also think, well, this thing I'm hearing for the first time. No? So it's an unlimited this thing concept. And the more, okay, now coming back to your main question about how they disappeared. When Krishna, you know, he killed Dantvakra, and that was the main purpose. Basically, he called Dantvakra at Mathura because he wanted to visit the Vrajvasis for the final time. Okay, so Acharya explained that making Dantvakra an instrument, Krishna actually entered Vrajbhumi through Mathura, because Mathura is closer to Vrindavan. And then he consoled each and every Vrajvasi, and he took all of them back to Godhead. So in his Aprakat Leela, they were all in the spiritual world. They went to the spiritual world. But in Prakat Leela, the Lord again went to Dwarka. So that point of when Krishna killed Dantvakra, Krishna took, when he entered Vrindavan, he took all the Vrajvasis and he himself, they all went back to Goloka in the spiritual world. And the so and it is also said that actually, you know, even in Bhoma Vrindavan also, or Bhoma Vraj also, the associates are always eternal. So what this means is that the prakat aspect of that associates of or the Vrajvasis, the prakat aspect of the Vrajvasis, they became a prakat, or you can say the prakat aspect went to the spiritual world and living behind the aprakat forms of the Vrajvasis and the Lord. So it is mentioned, right? You know that Vrindavanam Parityajam Padam Ekanna Gacchati, that the Lord never takes one step out of Vrindavan. So how is it possible that Krishna went to Dwarka and Mathura? It's not possible. Krishna was always in Vrindavan. Okay, so he, what this pastime is revealing is that when Krishna had been in Vraj for around 10 to 12 years, then he left Vraj, went to Mathura, and then he stayed there for another 20 years or something, and then from there he went to Dwarka. So we stayed there for a long time. So basically what is happening in Vraj, when Krishna is living for Mathura, he is still in Vraj. When Krishna is living Mathura to Dwarka, he is still in Mathura, but he is in the aprakat form, because he has eternal forms. So the Vasudev Krishna also is eternal form of the Lord, and he is residing eternally in Mathura and Dwarka. Okay, so when Krishna is prakat in one of the dhams, he is aprakat in another dham, like that. Okay,
so then when he took all these Vrajvasis back to Golok Vrindavan, so did they leave any bodies behind, or, you know, like, were there some replicates or something staying behind who continued to live? And maybe their generations were still there, because maybe the...
Yeah, that is something which is...
Or something.
Yeah, this is something that is not mentioned by... I have not heard or read anywhere that all these Vrajvasis, they left behind their bodies. Because, you know, the Acharyas only explained that he took all of them in the self-same bodies. Because they all came with the spiritual body. So he took them all with the self-same bodies. So there is no
because
question of, like, you know.
So feared, you know, that entire Vraj, you know, pura ek samay khali ho gaya, there was no one over there.
That's the confusion. And this confusion is cleared by the conception of understanding what is prakat and aprakat. So it is, it seems outside from us that, you know, it is empty. But I'm saying that they are all prakat. I mean, they are all there. They never went.
They never went. For someone who's staying out of Mathura.
This concept of prakat and aprakat exists only for conditioned souls. For Nitya Siddhas or for Prema Bhaktas, who are perfected beings, they are always seeing the associates and the Lord everywhere at every time.
Yeah.
Like that. Okay. So, see, what to speak of during Krishna's realm, when even till now we are also present, they are doing their leela, but we are not able to see it. So they are always there. There is no point that, you know, they will leave it. They can never leave their dham. So eternally, see, Krishna's pastime in Goloka and in Bhoma, they are going on eternally and they are always present. So they are present in prakat form or a prakat form in respect to the conditioned souls.
So it's like they are entering just another dimension. They have access to it and we do not have access to it because of the Maya.
Yes. Yeah. So unless you come to the state of Bhava, you cannot have access to it.
At the state of
Asakti, you might have some spurti. You might see some flashes of the Lord or the devotees. But only at the state of Bhava, actually, you can see the Lord.
So these associates are there in Golok Vrindavan also, as well as here in each and every Bhama Vrindavan of each and every universe.
Yeah. The only speciality of Bhoma Dham is, you know, there are two specialities, only two specialities or two uniqueness. And what is that? The difference between spiritual world and the Bhoma Vraj in the material world. What is the difference?
One is that Krishna takes birth over here, whereas he doesn't in the spiritual world.
Yeah, okay. That is a sequence of his growing up, right?
Yeah,
in the Bhoma Vraj.
Exactly. And
okay.
Demons are here, but they're not there.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's a good point. Demons are here. Okay, and one more. So, it's specially meant for the conditioned souls, to give compassion to them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
To attract the conditioned souls to the pastimes of the Lord, so that they can also join the Lord in the spiritual world. So that is a speciality of Bhoma Vraj. see, now, one more thing I will tell you. This is also very interesting. You'll probably think that, well, you know, so many things are happening, you know, so many things, like, it's all unlimited. So as Nirvika was saying that, you know, Krishna is appearing in his childhood form. He's like, you know, growing up. That is true. In the spiritual world, yeah, it is not happening. But it also happens. And another thing is, she said that there are no demons, but demons also there in the spiritual world.
Okay.
So Prabhupada said that there are no demons in the spiritual world, but Sanatan Goswami says that demons also exist. So how to reconcile? And you know, the answer is that. So basically, so in the spiritual world, the demons, they are not there. But occasionally, sometimes Krishna will create some forms of demons just to create some kind of excitement and fun. And what to speak of just demons, you will be...
Because demons will be his devotees only, now who are just temporarily...
No. These are not the devotees, basically. These are the forms that are created by Krishna's yogamaya potencies.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So Krishna will, like, you know, sometimes he will allow them, and then, you know, he will have, and see what happens. So after, see, in certain cases, Krishna will not, you know, most of the cases, Krishna will not kill the demons in the spiritual world. What he will do, he will rectify them. So for example, it is mentioned, Sanatana Goswami says that Kesi demon, you know, when he is there in the spiritual world, Krishna will chastise him, and then he will, you know, make him as a horse rider. So Krishna will have that fun of riding on the horse and then going around, you know. So he will chastise, and that Kesi demon will serve Krishna like that. And then, for example, Kalia. So Kalia is used as a boat riding, you know, this thing for Krishna's pleasure.
Wow.
So Krishna will first chastise him, and then after coming to the senses, Kalia will...
It's like, I think then that means that Disneyland and Orlando is basically a very small percentage version of what Golok Dham is.
Insignificant expansion of that. Right. Yeah. So like a roller coaster ride, Krishna will, you know, use so many things. And another thing is that, so there is killing also now in the spiritual world. So Krishna repeatedly goes to kill Kamsa. Now, you know, when I say repeatedly going to kill Kamsa, so you must be thinking, ek bar mar gaya, to wapas kya mar jayega marne ko, right? But what happens? Krishna is going to Mathura, he goes away from Vrindavan, and then he kills Kamsa, and then he returns back. So see, in Bhoma Vrindavan, he is returning back after a long time. He does not return immediately. But here what happens, he kills Kamsa, he immediately comes back to Vrindavan. And then, so he's creating that kind of anxiety among the Vrajvasis, and then he's finally back. So there is another excitement. And then he repeatedly does this activity because the Vrajvasis, they all forget about it. So they think that, well, Krishna is going for the first time to kill Kamsa. So this happens repeatedly. And so the Acharya explained that this is occasional, like, you know, this is not a permanent thing. And that's why, so both are correct, both understanding is correct, that there are no demons as the demons they are in the material world. There are no demons in the spiritual world. But Krishna can create, you know, these situations just to create fun and excitement in the Leela. So increase their separation.
As a child, baby or something?
Huh?
So he even takes the form of a baby also in Golok Vrindavan.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, thank you. So I was going to talk about that. So whenever Yashoda Maya will feel that I would like to see Krishna in the baby form, then Krishna will manifest in his baby form also. So he will satisfy all the devotees' desire. Because there is no... See, in spiritual world, every desire of the devotee is fulfilled. There is no question of unsatisfied desires. So everything, whatever you want to see, Krishna will fulfill everything. See, in Dwarka also, he had shown that form to Rukmini and Satyabhama, right? That Udipi Krishna, baby form. So then, you know, obviously you can do it in spiritual world also.
Mm-hmm.
But so these things are occasional things. It's manifested for a time being and it's gone like that. So that's the reason it is not like, you know, the eternal form of the Lord. This baby form is not the eternal form of the Lord. The youth form is actually, the Kaishor form is the actually eternal form of the Lord, because that is forever. All of them are worshipping in that casual form.
So Prabhuji, that means when we are in Golok Dham, whatever desires we have, Krishna fulfills them by generating some sort of an event, and then there is a lot of excitement and gaming and things like that. So what I understand is everybody is enjoying.
So everybody?
The question. That means everybody is enjoying in Golok Dham basically.
Yeah, it's a question of time.
Correct. So why is it that it is said only Krishna is the enjoyer and we are enjoyed? Because we are also enjoying. I think the kind of things that you are talking about, it seems very exciting, and everybody must be enjoying it in that case.
Yeah. So basically that is also true. You know, although we are enjoyed, but we are also enjoying. In fact, the reason that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came is because he saw that Radharani is enjoying more than him. That's why, you know, he took that mood of Radharani to experience that bhav. So that was also surprising for Krishna. Okay, now this is again a chinta bhedavet tattva. But one thing in the context of, see, you have to understand properly. So what does it mean that he is the enjoyer? Is that ultimately it is Krishna's will how the devotees will want to establish the relationship and how the leelas will go on. That is up to Krishna, like that. So we all have a center, okay, and that center is Krishna. It is not, the center is not, you can say that the center is someone else, like that. So in that sense, you say that, you know, Krishna is actually the center, like that. And Srimati Radharani is also the center because, you know, that's what Krishna wants us, that he should be worshipped, Radharani should be worshipped more than him.
So it is like when we go for a birthday party and we all have fun, but the birthday boy feels very special because everything that he knows will happen. So it is like that eternal birthday boy, that his will always be the supreme most.
Yeah, but the difference is that Krishna is always desiring the happiness of the devotees, and his happiness lies in the happiness of the devotees. Whereas in the material world, the birthday boy is experiencing happiness because his senses are satisfied. Okay. So,
right.
But it is not in the spiritual world like that. In the spiritual world, Krishna is happy, more happy, because devotees are happier. like that. And then similarly, the same way, devotees are happy because Krishna is happy. So it's a mutual this thing, but it is a selfless thing.
Correct.
Yeah. So these are all dynamics of Krishna Leela. You know, it's very complex, and obviously it's an inconceivable to a great extent. Many, many things are there. I mean, you know, because we keep discovering more and more new, fresh things, you know, and so there's a lot of variety. So, okay. I hope this concept is clear.
Yeah.
Okay, so other question?
So, I think we answered both how they left the body and there are no children for the gopis. So, I think...
Yeah, they all went in the self-same bodies. Just like the Pandavas, they also went back self-same bodies. So, they did not leave behind any. Now, see, this was not the case with Krishna. Because there was a purpose behind it. And that purpose is very interesting, you know. So the acharya has explained, you know, why Krishna left the body behind. Because if you all remember, you know, Krishna was shot with the arrow. Jara Hunter had shot the arrow. So now this Jara Hunter was actually incarnation of Bhrigu Muni. So, you know, all these things are connected to the pastimes and yeah, but Krishna left the body. Krishna left his material body in the material world, but he also went in the self-same body in the spiritual world. Now, why he left the material body? To bewilder the atheist, just to increase their faith that they are supposed to be atheist.
So that means there was antim samskar for his body?
That I'm not sure whether they did some kind of, you know, samskara. I have not read till now anything about it, what they did with Krishna's body.
Why did he want to dilute the atheist so much?
See, yeah, so it is very interesting because you see in Ram Leela, Lord Ramchandra, all the this Ayodhya Vasis, they were going back to Godhead. Everyone was able to see that you know, the plane from Vaikuntha came and everyone was boarding the plane, everyone was going back to Godhead except Hanumanji, who stayed back, but everyone else is going back. So, but in Krishna's case, Krishna had a very inconceivable kind of, you know, passing away, or you can say a very material kind of passing away compared to the previous avatars who went back to Godhead directly and who also took their associates. This is because the acharyas explain that Krishna wanted to create an illusion, so you know, especially for Kali Yuga people. Because see, now what is the trend? The trend is that the more you are in the mode of ignorance, or the more you are into the mode of passion, the more you are inclined towards a sinful life, the more you are degraded with the passing ages, right? So Satyuga, Trita Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, Kali Yuga. So we know that in Kali Yuga, people are the most degraded people. So who will come here? Those who have lost their faith in God. Okay, so in order to encourage these kind of people and not to show them the real glory of devotional service, Krishna had left his material body. Just to confuse and put them into illusion. See, because if Krishna had done the same thing, he would have taken all the associates with him, everyone would have seen that, then people would not have become so degraded. Their faith will be stronger in bhakti. Their faith in Krishna will be stronger. Because they are seeing with their eyes, right? So, but because the time for Kali Yuga had come, and the people who chose because of their karmas, they became degraded. For them, you know, Krishna had put this illusion. And also to encourage the atheist, because Krishna will reciprocate according to one's desire. So the atheist, they never accept God. And to make it very easier, Krishna left the material body.
So this was so that Kaliyuga could progress on as
exactly. Yeah.
Supposed
right.
to happen.
Yes. Yeah. Because Kaliyuga started when Krishna disappeared. That was the starting point.
Some people say that it had already started while Mahabharata was always already there, but then because of Krishna,
no.
it was not able to spread its influence.
No. Because Krishna, see, there is no question of Kali Yuga to prevail when Krishna is present. There is no, because Kali Yuga is afraid of Krishna. So that is not possible only. Okay, now after Krishna's disappearance, Parikshit Maharaj was ruling. So that time also Kali Yuga was kind of fearful. But then, you know, we know that, you know, what happened, like, later on.
Because
Kali took shelter of Parikshit Maharaj and then, you know.
In a lot of books, it is mentioned that Kaliyuga was there, but it was not able to do anything. It was just, like, there when Krishna was there, but it was not able to do anything. Because anything, anywhere on the planet.
Yeah, so, see. Basically, if you are talking about a Kali Yuga as a personality, as a person, then yeah, you know, you can say.
Maybe
I mean that way it was there in Treta Yuga also, you know, because demons were there in Treta Yuga also, Satya Yuga also there were demons. So the personality may be there, but the influence was nil. Whenever and especially when Krishna is present, there is no chance of. See, maybe there is influence of Kali Yuga in other Yugas also. But when Krishna is there, then there is no chance of Kali Yuga influence. So then when he disappeared, Parikshit Maharaj was there. So again, Kali Yuga was fearful. Then Kali took shelter of Parikshit Maharaj. He gave shelter to Kali Yuga. Again, the question is, why did he give shelter to Kali? You know, he could have killed Kali. But, you know, the answer is the same, that Kali Yuga had to start. So he had to give shelter. So that, you know, and then he took shelter in wherever that there is, you know, gambling, illicit sex, meat eating, gold, like, you know, all these places. So that way, you know, it happened. So it is very interesting, you know, all these Krishna's Leela. And in fact, the Mausa Leela also never happened. It was basically a dream. It was the Mausa Leela. The destruction of the Yadava dynasty.
Okay. I'm not aware about that being.
Yeah. So, like, you know, Krishna Balaram, you know, on their own, they destroyed their own family. You know that, you know, they were cursed by Narada and, you know, the sages. You know, the Samba was making fun of the sages and they got cursed. And that the iron club was there inside his stomach. And then that was the cause of destruction. So then Krishna told everyone to go to Prabhas. And then, you know, they had a fight, Krishna and Balaram. Because that Yadus got intoxicated, you know. And then, you know, Krishna Balaram had to kill each and every Yadu. But actually the entire pastime was simply an illusion. Krishna created this illusion. It did not happen actually. Another reason Acharya mentioned is that Krishna wanted to separate the demigods from the Yadus.
Eternal.
Because the demigods had merged in the body of the Yadus. So he wanted to separate them. And so the demigods went back to their abode. And the Yadus, because he wanted to take the Yadus back to Godhead. So obviously he cannot take the Yadus along with the demigods. Because the demigods had still to purify themselves. So he had to separate them. So that pastime happened because of, you know, this. This illusion was created. It never happened. It was a dream thing actually.
And Prigumuni is Jhara. Prigumuni is Jhara.
Yeah, that is given in Shastra.
Okay. Where is this mentioned?
This is in Garga Samhita, I think, mostly in Garga Samhita or some Purana.
Okay. So any particular reason why he became like or something of that sort?
Yeah, I think, you know, that is, this pastime is related to that kicking of Bhrigu Muni on Vishnu's chest. So, so that's the reason he had to come back, you know, to attain this kind of destination like that. So, this is what I've like read. I mean, I don't know the details, but in fact, I've even heard that he's incarnation of Bali from Lord Ramchandra's pastime.
Yeah,
because he wanted to take revenge against Lord Rama. You know, he killed Bali from behind, you know, in a cheating way. So similarly, Jara also killed the Lord from behind. So this is also what I've heard.
Also, Prabhuji, when the immediate descendants of Krishna had to be killed because of Mother Gandhari's curse, right?
See, actually, this is all external. You know, there is no question of Krishna is being killed by someone's curse. I mean, he respects and he will fulfill that desire of that person.
That is true.
Yeah.
But what I was about to add after that the other Yadavas who were there, who were not necessarily the descendant of Krishna, but there were so many other Yadavas also who were there, right? So it is said that when Dwarika was sinking, these Yadavas, they kept shifting.
Yeah.
And finally, it is the Israelis today, who are the Israelis today, are actually those Yadavas. And in the Hebrew language, there is no pronunciation of ya. So ya is pronounced as ja. So that Jerusalem actually comes from Yadushalayam. Yadushalayam means Yadavs. Yadu means Yadav, and Ishalayam means the place where one stays. So Yadushalayam is the place where Yadavas stay, is actually now Jerusalem.
Yeah, good.
So these Israelis also, they have this deep connection with India, and they are always most supportive. And even in their constitution, right on the first page of their constitution, they mentioned special thanks to India, because when they were fleeing during the world wars, there was a problem. India also always accepted them and gave them shelter. So there is a deep connection and Israel, and there is Nagar Sankirtan happening by ISKCON people. They always very happily join in and they dance and they sing. They have very soft corners for Indians.
Yeah, wonderful. So, yeah, that is right, that not all the Yadus were destroyed. That was Krishna's, again, his plan. Some of the Yadus were given special task, like Uddhava.
Okay.
And some of them.
I didn't even know about this connection. I mean, that some of them might have stayed and become like this.
That's Rajiv Prabhu shared.
Because
yeah.
There may be other relatives of Krishna who are not the descendants of Krishna. They are not children of Krishna. So they were not under the curse. So they must have shifted out. Now they must have gone somewhere.
So I don't know the Shastric reference for it, but maybe it might be true.
So last year when I went to Turkey, I was coordinating for a technical seminar. It was interesting. The lady from the company was communicating with me. Her name was Yasmin Bolokbasi. Now, it sounded so... the immediate thing that came to my mind, that Bolokbasi sounds like Golokvasi. But that's a surname. Bolokbasi was a surname. I said, there is something which we don't know, because it's happened over so thousands of years. Something must have, it keeps changing. The places change. Some changes happen, but the deep connection may not be lost, actually.
That's really amazing.
Which were these Yaduvasis who were left alive, like some remained alive, as per like this story or something?
I don't know. I have Shastric reference, I don't know. In the sense that they are going to be like, Hanuman or, Ved Vyas, like they are eternally existing. That I am not sure, at least for this Kalpa. and I don't have any, like, I have not read anywhere, but I think at least till a certain point of time, you know, they were there because Krishna had given them some task to perform.
Okay.
So some of them were there. So I don't know whether they were, you know, they are like eternally existing, like at least for one kalpa.
But probably Madhvacharya ji was always in communication with Vedvyas.
Vedvyas.
So
yeah.
Yeah. So Madhvacharya ji was only some 800 years back, or maybe 1,000 years back.
Yeah. Madhvacharya is incarnation of Hanuman or Bhim or Vayu, and Vedvyas is like eternally existing in Himalayas, the upper Himalayas, not our earthly Himalayas, the upper Himalayas. As we have, you know, discussed earlier, that there are 9 varshas in Jambudipa. Southernmost is Bharat Varsha, and then again Bharat Varsha is also divided into 9 parts, and the southernmost tip of that Bharat Varsha is Bharat Khanda, and that Bharat Khanda is the earth planet. Okay, and so Bharat, the border between Kim Purusha Varsha and Bharat Varsha is divided by the Himalaya mountain. So this Himalaya mountain is actually the upper Himalayas, where Vedvyas is actually residing eternally. Okay, Madhvacharya right. went to this upper Himalaya, not to earthly Himalaya.
Okay.
So, yeah, see, interestingly, in the Satyuga and Trita Yuga, the living entities from Bharat Khanda, they used to go through the entire Bhumandala. They used to travel. Okay, but then in Dwapar Yuga, they could only access Jambudip. They couldn't go beyond that. Or probably Ilavrat Varsha. Yeah, maybe one of them. And in Kali Yuga, they could only go up to, they could not access beyond Bharat Khanda. They could not have access to different Varshas also beyond Bharat Khanda. So like that. So again, you know, so because the entire Bhumandal is also considered to be a heavenly planetary system, in one sense. Okay. It's a separate topic, you know. It's a big topic.
Right.
If you want to discuss about it, you have to see, you know, the Goloka videos and all that. Then you'll be able to understand.
Right. Okay. So, see, there was one video for this, right, which you had said by someone on YouTube, we could see. Some disciple of Bhakti Vikas Maharaj had done it. I forgot his name.
But
if you can just let me know his name, then I can just look up into that.
Yeah, you can you can see this Goloka chart seminar, and his name is Gokul Chandra Prabhu. He's a Bhakti Vikas Maharaj disciple. You can search on YouTube Goloka chart. That seminar you will get.
Okay. Okay.
No, but see, you won't, that seminar is, you will not find these details. You have to watch Bhagavad Cosmology. There are in Bhagavad Cosmology, see, there is one Vedic Cosmology seminar by that same Prabhuji who has elaborately described in Bhagavad Cosmology. There he has given 3 seminars in base, our Chopadi base. He has that 3 seminars divided into Pavaneshwar Prabhu, right? So, but you know, you won't probably might be able to search from his name. You have to type Vedic Cosmology and you will get the Base Chopati. It is uploaded by Base Chopati. You will get 3 seminars, and 3 seminars divided into 3 parts or like that. So, total 9 parts or 8 parts.
He's even removed a book on this. Right.
Yeah, I know. He told yesterday only, he told me when I was in the temple. He told me yesterday because I was appreciating his work, and so he told me that, you know, you can also, so I would definitely be interested to see that book soon.
Yeah, it's so, like rather Bodhini type is, it's like that kind of, but it seems really good.
I have to also purchase that book. So you can, in YouTube you can type Bhagavad Cosmology, and Bhagavad Cosmology has 40 videos, so that is very detailed explanation right from beginning to end. So I, currently, so I had finished already this Vedic cosmology by Pavaneshwar Guru, but now I am seeing that Bhagavat
cosmology.
Okay. So that I am already like done, I think 26 videos I have seen.
Okay.
So all this, you know, is will be very helpful for your study of Bhagavatam, 5th canto, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila. You know, it will make things a lot of easier. But the problem is time, you know. We should have a lot of, like, we should get time to, because
how
if we are working.
How average each video is, how many minutes are?
Around half an hour, I think.
Oh, okay.
That Bhagavad cosmology, around half an hour videos, I think. Yeah, okay. Some are like 20
Vedic,
minutes, 15 minutes.
And Vedic cosmology, the first one?
I think that is a bit longer, probably. Maybe. I mean, I don't remember now, but... but
yeah.
I think Bhagavad cosmology is the best. Vedic cosmology, you might not be able to understand certain things because he's rushing through that, you know, seminar. It's a bit quick, actually. But if you refer to Bhagavad cosmology, you know, he has explained very nicely each and every concept. He has taken time and he has explained. So, I mean, yeah, it's a, you know, in the Bhaktivedanta Vidyapeeth, they did all this research and they presented. Okay. Yeah,
okay.
So let's, yeah, we will end here. It's already 11 now.
It's already 11, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
But I think it was, even though we were like very few devotees, but very interesting discussion we had.
We had the privilege of a one-to-one discussion.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah.
Okay, so next week, mostly on Monday, we'll have the class.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And BG class we'll be having on Sunday, okay?
BG class on
Sunday. Oh, well, okay. Actually, I'm not sure. I will update because my mother, you know, she recently has been detected bypass surgery.
Oh.
So she might be admitted. Yeah, she might be admitted on Sunday probably. So I'm not sure about it. Just talks are going on. Depending on that, you know, we'll see. Because Saturday is Rath Yatra. And then Sunday,
okay.
I don't know, if this will come up, then we'll figure out. Let's see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is she okay to
move around?
Huh? Is she healthy enough to move around or she's on bed rest or what?
No. Healthy. Currently she's healthy, but there are three blockages. One is 90% block, the main one. And another two are 60 and 50%, like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
Okay, we hope we pray that she's out of it soon.
Yeah, so you all pray that whatever happens, you know, for the benefit of the advancement of my mother in spiritual life.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. So thank you so much for joining. Hare Krishna,
Dhanvat
Pranam.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Dhanvat.